Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
Well, I'm still here, so I didn't win the lottery. I'm just kidding. If I won the lottery, I'd be doing this every day, just to make Robbie sad.
Every day? As long as you are paying me, I am A-okay with that plan. Like, if that becomes my job, Simpsons podcaster, I can handle that, I think.
Yeah. Make a few more podcasts.
Yeah, again, are you paying me to do this? Then yes, absolutely.
Theoretically.
Okay, good. Well, theoretically, yes, I accept your job offer, Matt. I'll be announcing multiple new podcasts starting soon. I have ideas. If anyone wants to pay me, I will happily accept. I will do. That doesn't exist, by the way. There are no podcast benefactors except for our generous supporters on Patreon. We are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. See how I segue that, Matt? Nice, huh?
It's because they're wonderful people.
This is not hyperbole. They are wonderful people. You can support us by going to patreon.com/thesimpsonsshow. For only $2 a month, you can have access to all of our bonus content. That includes monthly bonus episodes, weekly new episode reviews, weekly articles by me. Our Moon Waffle video is up.
Enjoy our pain.
We are within a spitting distance of our next goal, which is drawing terrible drawings for every single new episode or new.
Oh, it'd be awful.
Well, not new episode, but every episode of the core podcast, I should say. And there's things further off in the distance. Check that out. We have someone to thank, Matt.
We do.
A new friend. His name is Josh G. Thank you very much, Josh, for your support.
Josh, you obviously rock.
Obviously.
Obviously.
Again, obviously. If you want to help us out in a different way, go on to iTunes or your podcatcher on your Android device, wherever you find us, and tell them that you like us, give us 5 stars, write us a nice review, and subscribe. It really helps us out, gets us up in the ratings, the rankings of algorithms, and helps people see the show. You know, people, they notice sometimes, occasionally, and you know, recommend us to friends. We obviously appreciate that as well. Matt, this week's episode is Bart Gets an Elephant.
Ooh, it's very elephant-based.
Yeah,
it's important in our elephant-based economy.
It's a elephant-based heavy episode, I would say. Episode 1F15 originally aired March 31st, 1994, written by John Swartzwelder, the most prolific Simpsons writer, directed by Jim Reardon, finished 42nd in the ratings for that week, Nielsen rating of 10.7, approximately 10 million viewing households, highest rated show on Fox that week, which is good. We like that.
Well, it's important, you know, that they recognize quality.
The chalkboard gag. Organ transplants are best left to the professionals. I agree.
That's obviously not true.
What?
No. Anyone can do an organ transplant. All you gotta do is pick it up and you make sure you don't bang any of the pedals and, you know, you put something on the key so it doesn't get hurt. I mean, how hard could it be?
I'm fairly certain that the organ you're talking about is not as difficult as an actual organ transplant, but is very difficult. There's a reason that piano movers are like an explicit profession, because it's very difficult. And organs are worse. Pianos are relatively simple compared to an organ.
Oh.
Organs
well,
are
apparently worse. I was mishearing that. Never mind.
Organs are very complicated machines. Couch gag. Eyes run in. The Simpsons family's eyes run in with the lights off. When the lights turn on, the bodies catch up, pop in the eyeballs.
Classic.
Yeah, it's good. The episode begins with Marge surveying the house. It is disgusting.
you think?
Yeah, it's really gross. There's various goos everywhere. She steps on a sandwich that's on the stairs. There's underwear in more than one place. One is in the refrigerator. I don't suggest anyone put their underwear in the refrigerator, clean or dirty. I guess maybe on a really hot day, make it nice, cold, crisp underwear, maybe? I don't know.
That'd probably be enjoyable, I would think.
Yeah, that might not be bad, depending, I don't know, on your feelings. But there's footprints on the roof, on the ceiling. It's not good. It's not good. The family eats their breakfast, waffles. I think just normal waffles.
Mm.
And then Marge, before they can escape, Marge stops them, blocks the way, and has locked them inside to clean the house. And they are not going anywhere until the entire house is clean. They all choose a level, basically, and get to work.
Now, each one of you take a floor and get started.
I call the basement.
Fine. dough?
Dough! I mainly included that because of the little question mark dough. That was mentioned in one of our listener questions about catchphrases. When I ran across that again, like, that is, it's really good. It's a nice,
very nice.
Now, every time they subvert the catchphrase thing, I really like it. And so we watched them clean up a little bit. And Homer is trying to hold on to some calendars and TV guides because they're very important.
All done.
You're not done. I want you to throw away these old calendars and TV guides.
Are you mad, woman? You never know when an old calendar might come in handy. Sure, it's not 1985 right now, but who knows what tomorrow will bring. And these TV guides, so many memories.
Of course, you need to hold on to those old calendars, right, Matt? It's very important.
It's true. The calendars are very, very important. I mean, if you don't hold on to them, how will you know what day in the past it was? I mean, otherwise you're just screwed.
I have been, my family has held on to old calendars before. So I feel you, Marge. I understand. Get rid of that stuff.
It's true. This wonderful thing called math can help you there.
Yeah. Lisa is... every single family member has their own problems. As they're cleaning, Lisa sees... I guess local kids. Do we recognize any of those kids? Do we know
not
any
really,
of them?
No.
I'm not sure if we know any of them. But there are a bunch of kids playing instruments, walking by with Bill Clinton playing the saxophone. Is this the first time we've seen Clinton?
I believe so. This is his first time in the Simpson world.
Which is crazy, because he's been president for over a year at this point. So, I mean, I guess with the turnaround time, it's not, but he was a figure before that. But we see Clinton walk by playing saxophone, telling people to leave him, to make him do work, I believe.
Exactly.
Yes. Bart is listening to the radio and scrubs away American Gothic. Homer decides to use cleaning products in a closed environment and starts hallucinating, being attacked by the cleaning mascots, which is not too far from that the Treehouse of Horror segment, where all the all those brands come alive, and they must rely on Paul Enka?
Yes, to take them down.
Take them down, and so it's very similar to that, but it's pretty funny. He starts screaming out in the basement, and I would have included, but it's mostly visual.
It's very visual humor.
There's a lot of that in this episode. I like it. There's lots of gags about what Stampy is doing, or it's all sound effects, and I don't know. It would not make for great radio necessarily. But as Bart is listening to the radio, we have the infamous Bill and Marty from KBBL, and they're having a giveaway for $10,000 or one of their gag prizes. And Bart is listening in. He's ready for that phone call. They call a random number, and if you answer correctly with the right phrase, you win. I've never actually heard a radio do this, but I'm guessing stations have done this in the past.
It seems more to it's call in, because it'd take forever to get a decent number, I feel like, if you were actually calling people.
Yeah, I wonder, I'm curious, I'm sure it probably was a thing at some point.
Back when there were 8 telephone numbers, it's pretty easy.
It was probably in smaller markets, it probably wouldn't work in a big market, because there's just simply too many people. But the house is clean, and then immediately dirty again.
Well, you have kids and animals and Homer, I mean, come on. What'd you expect to happen?
Yes, exactly. It very clearly shows the frustration that Marge goes through. But we hear a clip that is familiar to people who listen to this podcast regularly.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
I won!
You win your choice of $10,000, or what's our gag prize this week, Bill? A full-grown African elephant!
Well, all that money sounds mighty tempting, Marty, but I think I'm going to have to go with the elephant.
He's taking the elephant instead of the money.
The kid wants the elephant.
We don't have a damn elephant.
Don't whisper into the mic.
Kid, the elephant's a gag prize. Nobody takes the gag prize. You want the cash.
I want the elephant.
Stick it to the man! No, wait! We'll call you back! Bart, with $10,000, we'd be millionaires. We could buy all kinds of useful things like love.
Or double-ply windows. They look just like regular windows, but they'll save us 4% on our heating bill.
That they will, Marge. Actually, that can save you a lot more than 4%, especially if I imagine the Simpsons have really crappy
insulation
windows like they probably do now. It's the idea anyway.
But I like both Homer's and Marge's answer that are so perfect. Bart is,
I don't know how much Homer would actually appreciate love, but hey.
He likes it. Maybe not as much as beer or football, but he likes love. Especially for Marge. They go to they pay a visit to the radio station where they try and talk Bart out of taking the elephant.
We think we know how your mind works, Bart. So how about this? We pay your principal $10,000 to pull down his pants and keep him down for the rest of the school year.
I'll do it, Bart.
No.
Okay. What if we use the $10,000 to surgically transform Skinner here into some kind of a lobster-like creature? Well, now, wait just a minute. That wasn't discussed with me.
Gentlemen, I am not leaving without my elephant.
So Homer and Bart are thrown out the door. And then we get my favorite thing in this episode, the elephant song.
Where's my elephant? Where's my elephant? Where's my elephant?
Hey, they're playing the elephant song.
I love that. Reminds me of elephants.
It's so ridiculous. I just love it so much. But there's an uproar about this poor child who is not receiving his prize that he wanted. Both Bill and Marty are visited by their boss, who threatens to replace them with a DJ 3000, who is programmed.
Which is the best DJ ever.
Yeah, it's pre-programmed with multiple responses. And even forget if it's Bill or Marty who's actually thinks it's kind of funny. I forget which one it is, but.
It doesn't really matter. They're practically the same person.
They are. But they're adequately threatened to somehow get them an elephant, and get them an elephant they do. The next morning, Marge awakens to see an elephant at the window, and we meet Stampy as we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we get to meet Stampy for the first time. And, Stampy's a jerk. I think that's the nicest way to put it. He immediately puts Bart in his mouth when Bart tells him to put him on his back, effectively smothering him until Bart works his way out. He scares off the cat and dog and he basically just trashes everything around the house. He rubs up against the house and causes it to break, and that's when Bart says he thinks he's people, which is a common phrase pet owners will all know.
I honestly think that's one of the best parts about this episode is that this is what happened if you just randomly got an elephant. He would not be a friend. Like, he's a wild animal.
He'd probably spend more time trying to eat all of the vegetation around you and avoid people as much as possible, but I doubt there'd be this much destruction, but he would definitely not be as friendly as a cat or dog.
No, they're not domesticated. They're wild animals. I think we are, like, as a television viewer, we're kind of been trained to think that all the animals that the family encounters will be friendly and stuff, and they're not. So it's refreshing, kind of like, hey, this wild animal is a wild animal.
It's true. Wild animals are wild animals, and they don't care what you think, which Stampy proves to the nth degree. Homer, being Homer, immediately puts a chain around Stampy with, like, manacles at the bottom. Of course, Stampy responds to this by trashing the entire backyard. This is where he gets his name, because Bart says he calls him Stampy, obviously because he just destroys everything. Homer suggests that they, tie him down so he can't move, and Lisa responds how you'd expect Lisa to respond.
Maybe if we tied it down so it couldn't move, it wouldn't get so hungry.
You can't do that, Dad. It's cruel.
Oh, everything's cruel according to you. Keeping him chained up in the backyard is cruel. Pulling on his tail is cruel. Yelling in his ears is cruel. Everything is cruel. So excuse me if I'm cruel. Now I've had my head in an elephant, a hippo, and a giant sloth.
The sloth is particularly interesting to me.
I know, I really want to know that story, but I'm afraid we never will.
Yeah, that's an untold story of The Simpsons. Why don't we get an episode about a giant sloth?
But as they move on, they are perplexed at what to feed Stampy, because Lisa brings him what I assume to be every vegetable in the Simpsons house, which Stampy consumes in one bite, essentially.
You ate it too fast.
You ate it too fast. Homer takes Stampy to Moe's, where Moe's has a promotion with free peanuts with beer. And poor Moe is just bringing in sack after sack of peanuts because Stampy is eating a ton of them, which is horrendously bad for elephants, as we find out in the next scene after Moe complains to Homer and Homer cuts him off and is a jerk to him because, you know, Homer's occasionally a jerk. That has way too much salt for an elephant to have, and peanuts aren't even their natural food, so Stampy is in dire straits. Luckily, Homer takes Stampy to the Arboretum, where Stampy proceeds to destroy every tree, which I think it would be kind of hard for one elephant to do, but hey.
I don't know, like, Stampy's pretty starved for nutrition, so, I mean, and it's Springfield's Arboretum. I have a feeling Springfield's Arboretum is not that big. I imagine it's a relatively modest size. Elephants eat a lot. They're gigantic animals.
That's true, but, you know, even when I guess he would have to be there for a long time, is what I'm thinking of, but you're right. He could probably take down the Springfield Arboretum pretty darn quick. But we then see Stampy showing affection for Bart. Apparently that's what elephants do when they love you, is they put you in their mouths, which he continually does to Bart over and over and over again. Eh. We then are rewarded with a scene of Marge in her bookie guise or her accountant guise, where she's attempting to calculate how much food Stampy is costing them, and it's absurdly expensive. Poor family. So it's great in the background of this particular scene because we see Santa's Little Helper and Snowball too. Is this the point where they're on the balls and juggling or something like that?
We only see that. I think this is the first time they show off, and this is them on balls, I believe. I don't think they juggle yet.
No, you're right. They're on balls, and Santa's Little Helper says, "I love you."
No, that's he doesn't say "I love you" till later. That's later. That's
fair
that's,
enough.
Near the end, they I think it's near when Blackheart shows up. They do multiple, like, they play the piano at one point. Santa's Little Helper says, "I love you."
Yeah, it gets a little weird. What can we do? Anyway, so to alleviate the concerns with money, Homer decides to rent Stampy out to the public. I believe it's $1 to see the elephant and $2 to ride the elephant. Something like that.
No, that is accurate. That is exactly how much it costs.
Okay. Yes.
$1 to see and $2 to ride it, which just bring for one more dollar, you get to actually ride the elephant. I mean, that's
pretty impressive. Although we see that Homer's definition of a ride is pretty loose, as Stampy knocks one kid around, and apparently he flew 5 feet, and that counts as a ride. Which, of course, his mother, immediately not concerned for the child's health, says, "Oh, that was never 5 feet," because she doesn't want to pay the extra dollar. Or $2, I guess it was.
Well, he did see the elephant, so it'd be an extra dollar. I mean, so they're already paid $1, I guess. See, I guess it's $3 if you want the whole experience.
Exactly. But then we get a very interesting comment from Helen Lovejoy, of all people.
That animal of yours is certainly bad-tempered.
Yeah, well, you'd be grumpy, too, if you were taken out of your natural habitat and gawked at by a bunch of slack-jawed yokels.
Hey, Ma, look at that pointy-haired little girl. Well...
I do believe this is our first exposure to Cletus.
His
voice isn't even right.
And it's a little weird, and yep, he's a slack-jawed yokel. This he didn't have a name at this point. He was simply the slack-jawed yokel. He would get his name later on, but it is the first time we see Cletus.
Oh, Cletus, you will become a wonderful side character.
Yeah, he's I think, like, third-tier side character, I think, for me. I think third tier down.
Yeah, that sounds about right. He verges on second tier, but is mostly third tier.
I see. I feel like second tier side characters have at least some kind of character depth. Cletus is not.
That's a good point.
I don't think Cletus
has
ever gotten
so many people I know and knew growing up.
Yep. I concur. Same experience. Rural Florida.
For those of you out there who don't know, rural Florida is basically the same as the rest of the South. So if you come to Florida, stick to the cities. Otherwise, Deliverance will become a documentary for you. Anyway.
Well, it depends. Depends. Gotta be careful. But, you know, I don't know. Results may vary, I think, is my advice. You know, who knows?
If you don't have cell signal, you're in a bad place. Run away.
Well, drive. I would say drive is faster.
Yeah, drive.
Do that. That's
anyway.
Better.
Moving on, back to the Simpsons. Burns.
What, Matt? What do you? I'm just trying to talk about my experience. Are you trying to discount my experience?
I don't think our fans are here to listen to our experiences with the slack-jawed yokels of rural Florida.
Maybe they are. You don't know.
If they are, that'll be like the fourth podcast on the line that you create is stories from rural Florida. Or sorry, the Oof. Cracker edition.
There's a lot there.
Anyway, we see Mr. Burns riding Stampy, and apparently reminds him of a fat man he used to ride to work, which sounds like not a bad gig. I'm sure Mr. Burns, you could barely tell that he's there, so if you want to make a few extra bucks, just, you know, walk to work, and Mr. Burns will pay you a decent amount, I'm sure. But, of course, Homer rushes into the house in our next scene to show Marge that he has made, I believe it's $38, all of it profit, because Homer doesn't understand what profit means.
$58.
$58
whole dollars.
I'm glad that wasn't a trivia question.
Not yet.
But Stampy's food bill for that day, I believe, was $300, or it may have been a week. Either way, obviously, the $58 is not even coming close. So Homer comes up with a new pricing structure to attempt to feed the elephant, where seeing the elephant costs $100 and riding him costs $500. And people immediately leave because, well, of course, that's a lot of money just to see an elephant. I mean, you can go to the medieval fair in Gainesville every year and see and ride an elephant for like $6 or $7. So, you know, anyway. But Homer, being Homer, attempts to collect from people who had already paid him. And it does not go well.
Milhouse saw the elephant twice and rode him once, right?
Yes, but we paid you $4.
Well, that was under our old price structure. Under our new price structure, your bill comes to a total of $700. Now, you've already paid me $4, so that's just $696 more that you owe me.
Get off our property.
And then the single instance of Kurt ever showing backbone right there.
He's done it a couple times.
Really?
Right?
This is the only time I can think. Oh, no, that's true. When he fights his, I believe, Danish cousin or Danish something or other, he gets riled up pretty easily.
And Bart sells his soul. He tells everyone to be quiet. He's trying to sleep. That's something.
That's true, I guess, but he's mostly talking to his family and kids, so I feel like that doesn't even count.
Well, I think that should count more. And, you know, I'm trying to help. I'm trying to defend poor Kurt. He doesn't do so great.
No, Kurt, as they give him more and more character, just slides downhill.
Well, I mean, in a delightful way. I think Kurt is a great character, but he's not particularly confident or just
has no self-esteem.
Yeah, something along those lines.
So Homer declares the town residents a bunch of deadbeats and says that Stampy has to go. Unfortunately, he just cost too much darn money. So Homer puts out an ad, I assume, because a whole bunch of people show up trying to claim Stampy. One of them is for this wonderful nature conservatory, where they have a wildlife refuge, and they want Stampy. Of course, they're a nonprofit organization, so they can't pay, so Homer immediately sends them on their way. And the man that, Homer eventually settles on is, his name is Blackheart, and I'll let him tell you about himself.
Mr. Blackheart?
Yes, my pretty.
Are you an ivory dealer?
Little girl, I've had lots of jobs in my day. Whale hunter, seal clubber, president of the Fox Network, and like most people, yeah, I've done a little ivory.
So, yeah, as you can see, he is pretty much evil incarnate. I mean, president of the Fox Network, that's
pretty bad.
That's pretty bad, yeah. And, of course, Bart is crestfallen at this because he can't stomach the idea of Stampy being part of the music, as Homer calls it. When Lisa questions him on, if you were an elephant, would you want to be sold for your ivory? I really should have captured that clip now that I think about it. But go watch that part of the episode. It's great. The next morning before Blackheart can arrive to pick up Stampy, which thankfully does not need keys, which is news to Homer, Bart frees Stampy and basically Stampy runs away, cutting a swath of destruction through the town, and we go to commercial.
And when we return, Marge and Homer are woken up by Lisa saying that both Stampy and Bart are gone. And they are trying to track both of them down. And as Bart is chasing Stampy, they are chasing both of them. Stampy is creating a giant swath of destruction, but unfortunately, not necessarily easy to track down because there is a convenient tornado that is also going through the town at the same time. We see Stampy go through both the Republic and Democratic Republican and Democratic convention. What is the Republican convention? It's like, we are evil, and what's the other one, Matt?
I don't remember. We hate ourselves, something like that.
No, that's the Democratic convention. Is we hate ourselves and everything else, and
we can't govern.
We can't govern. I'm trying to think. It's Republican. Is we're evil. We're just plain evil. And one other.
We want what's worse for everybody.
Yeah, we want what's worse for everyone. So there, it's again a lot of visual gags here. I really think this is funny. Another elephant peanut joke. With Stampy approaching a peanut factory.
This is the moment we feared, people. Many of you thought it would never happen, but I insisted we spend 2 hours every morning training for it. You all thought I was mad. Many of you requested to be transferred to another peanut factory. But now, we...
I like that they took so much time for that. Like, it's just, like, such a dumb thing that this guy has been preparing for an elephant attack.
It's so great that that's a joke that they actually voiced somebody for. It's not just showing him going through a peanut factory. They actually got one of the characters, one of the voice actors, to, you know, voice this guy and gave him lines. It is a fantastic joke. I love it.
Yeah, and as Homer, Lisa, and Marge are trying to track down Bart, Bart is also trying to track down Stampy. He ends up at the Springfield Tar Pits. Of course, Springfield has tar pits. These are modeled after the La Brea tar pits. I'm fairly certain. I can't name any other tar pits in the world. So I'm guessing that's what they're modeled after. But Bart ends up and he finds Stampy there. Stampy is actually, we see Stampy a little sad here. You know, he is embracing a mastodon kind of sculpture. And you know, Bart recognizes that he's lonely. He misses elephants. And we get, as Homer, Marge, and Lisa drive up, we get just an amazing gag.
Oh!
A deer! A female deer.
Son, you're okay!
And you led us to the precious ivory.
the doe, a deer, a female deer. It's just, I don't know. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So they found Stampy. Homer still wants to sell him to an ivory dealer. Homer's not very nice in this episode for the most part. But as they are debating if he should or should not be sold to the Blackheart, Homer begins to sink.
Dad, you're sinking!
Huh?
Get a rope, Bart!
No, that's okay. I'm pretty sure I can struggle my way out. First, I'll just reach in and pull my legs out. Now I'll pull my arms out with my face.
I think about that all the time. Whenever someone is being shown sinking into quicksand, I'm like, oh, they just pull themselves out with their face.
Well, of course, that's how it works. Otherwise, when you know, then once your face is in there really well, you have to bring your legs back around and pull out your face with your feet. I mean,
of course.
How else would you get out?
It reminds me of that Futurama bit from the very first episode where Bender, his arms fall off and he then puts his own arms back on without arms.
Yeah.
A
disembodied arm puts another arm on.
Yeah, and this reminds me of that. But Homer is sinking. Stampy comes to the rescue. First grabs Barney from there, which Barney immediately, after being rescued, lights himself on fire trying to light a cigarette.
Well, of course. I mean, it's Barney.
This was in the newsgroups, and I'm like, do you think that was a reference to Barney the dinosaur?
Maybe. I mean, I guess Barney and Tar dinosaurs. It does make sense.
I don't know. It's yeah. I don't know. It's okay. I don't know. It's kind of a reach. It's not really. I don't know. They're not dinosaurs. It's usually I don't know. I don't know the actual age, like the time period that. But it's, you know, it's mastodon, saber-tooth tigers, stuff like that. I don't know if they've ever actually pulled dinosaur bone from those tar pits.
Not as far as I know of, but you know, it's fun to think about.
Yeah, but Stampy rescues Homer, and Homer still not sure if they should just sell Stampy to the ivory dealer. But both Bart, Lisa, and Marge kind of talk him like, he saved your life. You should repay him in some way. And so they take him to the animal refuge, the sanctuary, where Stampy is set free, and immediately starts ramming his whole body, basically, into the other elephants. And do we ever get a name for the ranger there?
I don't believe so, no.
I don't think so either. But the ranger begins to try and explain it to Marge.
Gosh, I thought he'd be happier in his true habitat.
Oh, I think he is.
Then why is he attacking all those other elephants?
Well, animals are a lot like people, Mrs. Simpson. Some of them act badly because they've had a hard life or have been mistreated. But, like people, some of them are just jerks. Stop that, Mr. Simpson.
It's true. I imagine if the radio station bought Stampy from somewhere, he probably had a pretty crappy life. But in Homer's case, yeah, he's just a jerk.
He's just a jerk. And that's how the episode ends. It goes out with Homer headbutting the side of the ranger. It's just a crazy thing. This whole episode is so, it's such a crazy thing. Like, imagine
wonderfully crazy.
No, it's very good. It's a very good episode. It's full of zany, odd stuff. It's often been described as the, Matt Groening himself says it is the quintessential Swartzwelder episode, and it does definitely kind of capture what we often think of John Swartzwelder's, you know, tastes, I guess.
There's always a good point to put in a random joke and expand upon it, and that just makes it awesome.
Yeah, it's a very, very good episode. Hilarious, full of gags. Stampy and Homer are both. We do get some Bart being emotional there at the end. You know, he rides Stampy for the first time, and even though Stampy just knocks, he falls off of the elephant, which that you could die.
Elephants are tall.
That's really high. But it's a good episode. We'll rank it at the end of the show. I'm kind of interested to see where we go with it.
Yeah.
No submissions for this for my favorite episode. If you have a particular episode that is your favorite, please send it in to SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Explain why certain episodes are your favorite. I will read it on air. Our next segment, Matt, is time for comments from the newsgroup.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the newsgroup is where I will comb the old alt.tv.simpsons newsgroup. Sprung up in the aftermath of the first season, and it's kind of run concurrently since, and kind of see what people were talking about during the time this episode came out. This is both simultaneously the best and worst episode of all time, Matt.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, some people, a lot of people love the doe a deer, a female deer joke that I saw so many people reference it. It's they really like that, but of course, just full of hyperbole, where people declaring it the best and worst. It's just every week it's like this. I don't see how people, you know, it's the internet, and even back then it was full of, you know, hyperbole. But do they not, like, can't look back the week before and see the same, like, people doing the same exact thing?
Well, people feel like if your review is not, it's why no one looks at reviews that aren't 1 or 5 stars. If you have something a 3 or 4 star review, people would like completely ignore it because no one cares if you had an okay experience. Only if it was really great or really crappy.
It's not as sexy. Also, at this point, The Simpsons have been picked up for 3 more seasons, 72 more episodes.
Is that through season 30 or you're talking about on the,
Yes, and that's okay. In 1994. Yes, the news broke that they were expecting 3 more seasons, 72 more episodes, but, I have not seen much reaction to that yet. Next episode we'll see more people talking about that because of course they're already proclaiming that this is the Simpsons going downhill. Although there are plenty of voices of reason. There was a guy who's like, The Simpsons is my favorite show, and any Simpsons is better than nothing. No Simpsons at all. So, who knows? But it's the internet. I think that has reaffirmed my belief more than anything. It's, even in that very simplistic form, people, when they have access to just be able to yell their opinions, that's what happens. But nothing much else. I believe Homer was on the cover of a magazine about him being bald. About how being bald was sexy or being it was in fashion or something.
Interesting.
That was
I was unaware about that. That's good to know. I'm gonna go bald.
1994. That's what you're fine. You got a full head of hair. But that's about it. You know, not crazy bunch of stuff. You know, always list of references of things that don't happen in the episode. Like there is this a reference to that? I'm like, no, it's not. You're a crazy person. You're stretching a little bit. But I think with that, we can move on to our next segment. Time for our listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Hey, it's that one. We just heard that. Listener question of the week is, what is your favorite Flanders moment? Tons of great answers. I wish I had time to read all of them. They're just so wonderful. A lot of answers that always surprise me. I always like those. First, we have Andy at AndyMans22. Homer says, get your glow sticks. Can't get into heaven without a glow stick. Ned replies, I'll take four. It's really good. The Wanking Dead at FFCoinosaur84. He says, stamping. He says, gasp. Ned says, stamping. And says, the four elephants of the apocalypse? Mod says, horses, Ned. Net horses. Ned says, well, getting closer, which I had to pull because, hey, it's this episode.
Yeah.
Bryant, who's Bryant Flanders, at Red So Deep. I must answer this by obligation to my surname. His answer, it's like I'm wearing nothing at all. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. Stupid, sexy Flanders, which, very popular answer. Many people liked the stupid, sexy Flanders, which, again, another thing about Homer, not, you know, he's not really that homophobic, except for that one episode.
Yeah.
We have 15-year Mr. Callius at Mr. Callius. His answer, quote, here's a saying you'll need to know for your later years. Hey, buddy, got a quarter? Hurricane
Ooh,
episode.
Dang.
Hurricane episode is his best. David at D. Levy. I've done everything the Bible says, even the stuff that contradicts the other stuff. On a Facebook, we have Nathan from In Marge We Trust when Lovejoy's explaining why he lost his passion for his job due to Ned's constant calls. The whole part is a brilliant exploration of Christian guilt, but I think I may be coveting my own wife, and I'm meek, but I probably stand to be meeker. Also looks in the fact that Homer isn't the only one annoyed by Flanders' overbearing personality.
Pretty sure everyone's annoyed by Flanders' overbearing personality.
Yeah, a lot of the time. Daniel, his answer, fooled you, Flanders, made you think your family was dead. Well, it could be argued it's more of a Homer moment, really makes the scene work as poor Flanders attempting to take it to try to laugh along with Homer, even though anyone else probably would have punched Homer in the face, which just encourages Homer and lets him rub it in even more. Dan's answer, you know, most people don't know the difference between apple cider and apple juice, but I do. Clear and yellow, you got juice there, fella. If it's tangy and brown, you're in cider town. That's great. So perfectly encapsulates. We have Brian at the end of Alone Again, Natura Diddly. After questioning his faith, he returns to church and tells Rachel, my name's Ned Flanders, and I'm here every rain or shine. I know I've said this before, but I'm a fan of seeing how Ned bounces back after tragedy. He's a modern-day Job, which is very true. Yeah, he does really represent. I think Job is, if any biblical character, I think Job is probably the most accurate. Zach, love Ned trying to decide what drink to order in Viva Ned Flanders. I'll have a Shirley. No, a virgin. No, a children's. Oh, what the heck? You only live once. Give me a white wine. Spritzer, spritzer, spritzer. Quintessential Ned Flanders for me. And finally, Nick's answer. I'm a huge fan of Ned in Bart's Comet. From Ned actually building the bomb shelter big enough for Homer's family and his, to Ned willing to sacrifice himself to the comet. It's the best quality of who. It's the best qualities of who Ned really is. Matt, what is your answer?
I'm actually going to have to go with Ned's deprogramming of Homer in The Joy of Sect, and how the only people to stay loyal to the actual church was Reverend Lovejoy, who was actually planning on burning it down, and Flanders. Flanders did a pretty great job of helping to deprogram Homer with what was apparently beer. It's odd that even after all that time, Flanders still had the tap in his basement when he had long since converted to Churchy Joe from his original neighbor perspective. I just thought it was really funny to see him, you know, to be on the other side of that equation for once.
My answer is the same as Nick's. It is Ned in Bart's Comet. I recently wrote about that for our Patreon, and particularly the moment where he is having been cast out of the bomb shelter, kind of going, yeah, agreeing to leave his own bomb shelter.
Yeah.
He, you know, he's walking up the hill and singing Que Sera Sera to himself, and then the whole town kind of joins into him. It's a really uplifting moment, and really, it represents the best of Ned Flanders. And I like those moments necessarily more than his, you know, the overbearing personality stuff. I think, you know,
deep down, Flanders is obviously a very good person.
Yeah, you know, willing to, like, he, and the fact that he is so, like, at ease with his death, like, that's really, you don't find many people like that. You know, it's kind of, it speaks to him as a person, and it's really a wonderful moment. Next week's question, what is your favorite moment involving an animal? There's a bunch of them, and I'm, you know, feel free to, you know, stretch the rules maybe a little bit. I'd also like to note that I got some particular answers this week that are not, were good answers, but not ones I could read on this podcast. We are, PG. We are PG podcast. You know, any words that could be said on The Simpsons, we will say, but not words that were not said on The Simpsons, I will not say. So, if you send me an answer with a curse word in it or something talking about Ned's, how well endowed Ned is, I'm not gonna read it on air, even though they were pretty funny. but yeah, you can find this question at any of our social media, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod. Again, you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Reach out to any of those places. I'll post those questions and kind of anything Simpsons related I find or get sent to me. I try and spread it around. And there's, you know, we're a great community has sprung around all this stuff, and I really enjoy reading it every week. Matt, it is time once again for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I each challenge each other with three trivia questions, one easy, one medium, one hard, try and stump the other this season, season 5. We have a wager on wins at the end of the season. Who loses? The loser will have to drink something we are calling a mulk shake, which will contain various Simpsons-related food items blended together. Duff beer, some American cheese, and a new ingredient that I forgot to mention last week, on top of the chili, the pepper, Matt, which this is probably definitely more appetizing to me, is a Butterfingers.
Ooh, I like that idea.
Yeah, Bart Simpson, I don't think there's one item more identifiable that he, you know, merchandise than a Butterfingers. So it'll probably have to be fun-sized. I don't know if we can include a full-sized Butterfinger bar in there. This thing is going to be packed to the gills. So we'll see. I'll start us off, Matt. How about that?
Sounds good.
Okay. These are all, no, we have no listener submitted theme, but I have my own theme. It is everything. This is all from the aforementioned Bart's Comet.
Uh-oh. Now I'm in trouble.
You've seen Bart. You've probably seen the episode 100 times.
Hopefully. All right. Hit me.
Easy question. Why is Bart forced to help Skinner?
Because he has detention.
What did he do to cause detention?
Oh, I believe that was the Scotchtoberfest incident where he put balloons on Willie's kilt.
That is your Matt.
No?
No. I will give it to you. It's an easy question, so you're right. He has detention. Weather balloon. He has the weather balloon that says I'm a Big Butt Skinner.
That's a Big Butt Skinner episode. Shoot.
It's an easy question, so I will require a less studious answer, but you should feel shame regardless. Give me an easy question.
All right. What is Homer's phobia in Homer's phobia?
It's aforementioned already. We're going right along. Homophobia.
That is correct.
He's a feared of John Waters.
Well, we should all be scared of John Waters, but not for that particular reason.
I like John Waters. He's
everyone likes John Waters. He's awesome.
He's a crazy weirdo. Your medium question, Matt. What writer is attached to the bill to save Springfield, the congressional bill? What writers added to it that it ends up getting voted down?
I believe that is a large amount of money for the perverted arts.
That is correct. The perverted arts. Give me a medium question.
All right, your medium question. In Bart After Dark, what act does Marge put on to pay back the burlesque house?
Could you repeat that one time?
At the end of Bart After Dark, Marge is forced to do an act for the burlesque house. What is that act?
Ventriloquist?
That is correct. Dummy's name?
Is that part of the question? That was
no, I just want to see if you know.
I don't know.
It's Chip.
Okay, that's the worst.
All right, hit me.
She's the worst. All right, Matt. We meet the Super Friends for the first time in Bart's Comet. I want all of their nicknames.
Oh, man. Let's see. There's Cosine, Database, Lisa, Bart's Cosmos. So I don't know if that counts.
It does. It's one of them.
Okay. Report card. And, oh, I feel like there's one more. Can I get a hint on how many I'm missing?
You're missing one.
Missing one. Okay. Email?
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
Ding, 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 ding. You got it.
Yes!
I'm impressed. That was very difficult.
I have not gotten a hard question right in a long time. I'm impressed, Robbie.
Those characters. I love it that Matt, as I was doing research for my article, apparently Matt Groening hates database.
Oh, why does he hate database?
Because he's just such a stereotype, I guess, of nerds.
Oh, but well. Martin. So's Milhouse. I mean, come on. They're all stereotypes.
His name is Database, Matt. It's not like he has a name. His name is Dave.
True, they've never given him any name but Database. Good point.
All right. Hard question.
All right. This is a pretty tough one, but I think you can get it. In Lisa's date with Density, what nefarious deed was Nelson actually doing when he lies to Lisa about the cops chasing him?
They were egging Skinner's house, I believe, with the bullies, Jimbo, Dolph, Kearney, and then they Skinner tries to cover up when his mother goes to check on what it is, and all of them are mooning her, and she goes, oh, which is,
you are story. So close.
Were they not egging? Was it toilet paper? It's some sort of vandalism. I know they moon. They moon Skinner's.
That is definitely true. I don't know. I think I can give you 2 points out of three on this one because
eggs? I thought it was rotten eggs or something disgusting.
It's not. It's something disgusting. That's like the main thing I wanted you to get, but you got pretty darn close. You have any idea what that item was?
It's something rotten. Oh, it's like a cupcake or something, or oh, it's not a cupcake. It's like a, they have like, it's handheld. You know, it fits in the palm of your hand. It's rotten. They picked it up from like the back of a store, or a restaurant or something.
I'll give you a hint. It was out of the back of the Krusty Burger.
No, I want to go with the obvious answer, but I feel like it's wrong. Like shakes? Krusty shakes or something? It's like they splat. I don't know. It's my best guess.
All right, is that your final answer?
Yeah, sure.
All right. It is actually rancid coleslaw.
Coleslaw! Of course, little coleslaw cups. That's I should know. Okay.
Yes. So I'll give you, I think we should give you two out of 3 points.
Okay. You got six, man. Gives me five.
Nope.
Wait, that's backwards. So gives me 53 points to Matt's 57. Ugh, it's not good. I did not think you were going to get those code names. Those were
I didn't either.
Okay. I've got some extra questions for you, Matt.
Yes.
These are from John again. We're back to the mammoth list that John sent in. Mammoth, get it? Because we saw the mammoth in this. This is just very, these are all general questions. No necessary a theme to any of them, but I want rapid fire answers. Okay, Matt? No thinking.
All right.
What business does Marge buy from Frank Ormond?
The pretzel wagon.
Correct. When auditioning to be Mr. Burns' heir, Homer writes Bart cue cards that refer to Monty Burns as who?
Mr. Kearns.
Correct. What is the name of Bleeding Gum Murphy's album that Lisa has played on K-Jazz Radio?
Sax on the Beach.
Correct. What is a special ingredient in a Flaming Mo?
Children's cough syrup.
Correct. What nation does Bart represent in the Model UN Club?
Libya.
What is the name of the motivational speaker who urges everyone to be like Bart?
Brad Goodman.
What is Mr. Burns' son's name?
Larry Burns.
Iggy Wiggum, Sheldon Skinner, and Arnie Gumbel are members of what military unit?
The Flying Hellfish.
Fighting Hellfish.
Fighting Hellfish.
Not flying. It's an easy mistake to make. At a Renaissance fair, Lisa wanders into Friar Wiggum's Fantastical Beastarium, which features the Esquilax. What is an Esquilax?
It is a beast with the front of a rabbit and the back of a rabbit.
Correct. What is the name of Springfield A&M's mascot?
Wester Winks a lot.
Correct. Good job.
Sorry.
Get you a nice solid 9 out of 10. You got an A-, Matt.
All right. I'll take that.
Okay. Finally, it is time for our final segment, Matt. You know what that is, right?
Oh, the scary one?
It's not scary. It's fine. That we just got past the scary part. This is easy. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
best episode ever is the part show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Where do we put this one, Matt? It's a good, very good, even, episode. I would not say it's a great episode.
I would have to agree. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's not quite top 25 material. Do you agree?
Top 20. It's not top 25. Oof. I disagree.
Oh, really? Okay. Okay.
I say it's just on the edge there. I would say it's in that 20 to 25, maybe a little bit. I don't know. You could talk me down to 26 or 27, maybe. But I'm looking at the tail end of that, near Homer the Vigilante. I would say it's somewhere in that area.
I would agree. I think Homer at the Bat is better. Classic.
I agree. Homer the Bat is better. I was just throwing Homer the Vigilante out there. I think it's. I would say.
Those Treehouses of Horrors are hard to judge. I know that's what's throwing me off.
I'm just discounting those for now because I have a feeling we'll be breaking those out eventually anyway. So I'm more concentrating on if it's better than A Streetcar Named Marge. It's very tough comparison. Not very similar kind of episodes at all. You know, Streetcar Named Marge is much more emotional, character driven. Has great guest appearance with the why can't I think of his name. Why can't I think of his name? I can think of the critic, but I can't think of John Lovitz. John Lovitz, great guest appearance by him in A Streetcar Named Marge. I would say it's right above Streetcar Named Marge.
I can definitely go with that. It's tough between those two, but I think this one kind of edges that one out just on the strength of, the tightness of the episode and how everything flows together so well.
It's a very funny, very full. It's full of gags, full of zany, crazy. I have a soft spot in my heart for the completely ridiculous episodes, and this is one of them. Like, the name of the episode is Bart Gets an Elephant.
I know, it's very cartoony.
Yeah, and I kind of appreciate that from time to time. Like, that's the beauty of The Simpsons, is they can do so many different things. And this is a completely zany, cartoony, but at the same time, there's, a heavy dose of realism in it that, they act like it's a real elephant. They don't make it hey, it's a lovable elephant. He's just... I think that's the funniest thing is that, we see... Sans Little Helper and Snowball 2, act like they go crazy. They have to be more than their normal animals. Usually are very animals, and then they go to become more cartoony. But Stampy is not that. It's a weird thing. But I really like that whole thing. So 24, a new 25. I'd say. So right at that border.
Mm-hmm.
Right below Trails of Horror 3, right above A Streetcar Named Marge. Bart Gets an Elephant. Still number one on our list is Cape Fear, final last number 97, Homer's Odyssey, last place remains for now.
Get more years,
but we'll get there. You can find this list at our website, simply thesimpsonsshow.com. Find this list and broken down by season and in total. Links to all the new, to new episodes, downloadable and streaming. Links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed, to our Patreon. If you wish to support us, we, of course, would appreciate it. Really helps us out. What is our next episode, Matt?
Let's see. Checking my list here. Let's see. Next is Burns' Heir. A fantastic episode. I can't wait to see it.
I haven't watched that in a while. I'm going to see how I feel about it. I never have necessarily a lot of fond memories of, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes, before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixmasterCereal. That's MixmasterCereal. And please check out my comic book podcast. It is Handsome Boys Comics Hour. HandsomeBoysComicsHour.com, iTunes, etc. Where podcasts are, you'll find it if you want it. Matt does not participate in social media unless you are a certain level Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That's true. However, I have decided I am going to attempt to be Ant-Man for the next week. So I will be shrinking myself down. I apologize if you're not the person whose body I will be entering. It will be impossible to communicate. But if you are that lucky person, just scratch yourself in Morse code and I will attempt to get back to you somehow. Maybe by poking you in the face from the inside.
You continue to outdo yourself, Matt. I don't know what. With that, we can end it. I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.